On Sundays, we've been going through a series called Thorns. And we've talked about Adam's thorns. We've talked about the soil with thorns in Jesus' first parable. We've talked about Israel's thorns. Last week, we talked about Paul's thorn. And it is appropriate that we conclude our series tonight on Good Friday, thinking about Christ's thorns. I call it Christ's thorns, a crown for the Lamb. Let's pray and use this time in God's Word to prepare to come to the table. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity to sing these songs to remind us that Jesus was your Lamb, that perfect, without blemish, sinless Lamb that was sacrificed for us. Father, I pray that as we look at these scriptures that remind us of what he went through for us, I pray that you would use it to prepare us to come to your table and to give you thanks and to remember how wonderful it is to be forgiven, to have your salvation, to know Jesus, this Lamb of God. In his name we pray. Amen. There are three Gospels that talk about Christ's thorns. We're just going to look at the passage in one of them this evening briefly, and it's in Matthew's account. So if you have your Bible with you, turn there to chapter 27 of the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 27. At the end of chapter 26, we find out that Pilate, whom Jesus has been standing before on trial, has had Jesus flogged. He's had him whipped. And we come to verse 27. Matthew 27, 27. Then the governor's soldiers took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole company of soldiers around him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him and then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on his head. They put a staff in his right hand. Then they knelt in front of him and mocked him. "Hail, King of the Jews," they said. They spit on him and took the staff and struck him on the head again and again. After they had mocked him, they took off the robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him away to crucify him. This is a passage that talks about Jesus' thorns. We see that here in this passage. The Roman soldiers are playing a game. They're playing a game of mockery. Jesus has been taken to the praetorium, which was basically Pilate's government building. It's where he stayed. Also the Praetorian Guard, which was a group of a few hundred Roman soldiers, were there to guard the governor, Pilate, and keep him safe. And we're told that Jesus is turned over to these Roman soldiers, and they begin to play their game of mockery. It says the whole company of soldiers gathered around Jesus. A company was a few hundred. So you picture all these Roman soldiers perhaps encircling Jesus, Jesus standing in the middle after being whipped, and all of these Roman soldiers standing there. It says they stripped him. They put a scarlet robe on him. Then they twisted together that crown of thorns, made a crown out of some thorn branches. They set it on his head. They took a staff and they put it in his right hand. And then they knelt in front of him and pretended they were honoring him, pretended they were worshiping him, and mockingly said, "Hail, King of the Jews." They spit on him. And then they began to strike him with the staff over and over again in the head. This was a very wicked game that they were playing. It was a very violent game. There was pain, I'm sure. It was a bloody game. A lot of blood from the whipping, but especially from the crown of thorns. Can't imagine. You know, we're told that the head, when it's bruised, bleeds profusely because there's so many blood vessels in our head that are bringing all this oxygen our brain needs. And those blood vessels are close to the surface. And if you've ever had a wound in your head, you know the bleeding is very profuse. And you can imagine when this crown that they have put together from these thorn branches is placed on Jesus' head, what it must have done, the blood that must have come. You know, I've got this crown of thorns here, and I'm going to very carefully put it on my head, okay? And even if I carefully put it on my head, I can already feel the thorns, and it's uncomfortable. Now, when the Roman soldiers placed that crown of thorns on Jesus' head, do you think they carefully set it on his head? Of course not. They set it on his head, I'm sure, very strongly and pressed it, and there would have been blood coming from his head. This was a bloody game that they were playing. It was also a deadly game because all of this was preparing Jesus for the cross, preparing him to go to the cross, weakening him already as they got him ready to bring to the cross. But you know, the interesting thing, when you think about what the Roman soldiers were doing, is that hidden in their mockery, unknown to them, was truth. When you think about it. First of all, they were mocking him, calling him King of the Jews. They were just mocking him. The truth was, he was king. Earlier in the chapter, Pilate had asked, "Are you the King of the Jews?" And Jesus responded, "You say I am." Roundabout way of saying, "Yes, I'm the king." And so without knowing it, in their mockery, calling Jesus King of the Jews, the Roman soldiers were speaking truth. He was the king. And in their mockery of putting together a crown of thorns and placing it on Jesus' head, they didn't realize he deserved a crown. He was king. He deserved a crown. And then, in their mockery, in their game playing, they bow down before him. They're just playing their mocking game. But hidden in that game is the truth. He was worthy of their bowing. He was worthy of their honor. And as they did all these things to Jesus, the whipping, the crown of thorns, the beating him, the blood that he was shedding, although the Roman soldiers were doing this out of their typical violence and tormenting of someone about to go to a cross, hidden in what they were doing was truth, because they were fulfilling the prophecy that his blood would be shed for the forgiveness of sins. And unknown to them, they were seeing that the prophecy was fulfilled. His blood was being spilt from his head down to his back. So you have this game of mockery that's going on. Violent, painful, bloody, leading to death. And yet hidden in that, you have truth, unknown to the Roman soldiers. They were preparing the Lamb to give his life for the sins of many. In the third chapter of John, you recall John the Baptist, when he saw Jesus coming to the Jordan, he shouted out, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." In Isaiah chapter 53, the prophet says, "He was led like a lamb to the slaughter," as he describes the suffering of this coming Messiah. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter. In 1 Corinthians 5:7, Paul says, "Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed." And of course, Peter, in the first chapter of his first letter, he says, "We have been redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect." Jesus, over and over again, is referred to as the Lamb of God. Where did that come from? Well, we go back to Egypt, right? We go back to the deliverance of God's people from slavery in Egypt. And that last night, when God had the angel of death visit all the homes in Egypt, he passed over the homes of the Israelites. Why? Because they followed the instruction. And lambs, multitude of lambs, that day were slaughtered, killed. And their blood was shed. And their blood was placed over the doorposts of the Jewish homes. And the angel of death passed over and spared them. And they were delivered from slavery in Egypt. And from that day on, God's people celebrated annually what they called the Passover, to remember, never forget, when they were delivered, set free, because of the blood of the lambs on their doorposts. The shedding of the blood, the sacrifice of so many lambs, innocent lambs, paid the price for deliverance of the Israelite people. And then, when the law was given, as the people traveled to their new land, God put together this way to deal with sin. You remember it? Sacrifice a lamb. Sacrifice an innocent animal. Shed its blood for the forgiveness of sin. And lambs and other innocent animals paid the price of their blood over and over again throughout the years, that the Israelites might be forgiven of their sin. And then along comes Jesus. "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." He became God's Lamb, God's final Lamb, God's once and for all Lamb, to shed his blood, to be sacrificed one time for the sins of all. to bring forgiveness, deliverance from the penalty for sin, freedom from sin's control. Jesus, the Lamb of God, the brunt of a game, a mockery game, a violent, painful game, a bloody game, a game that led to his death, and yet a game that in a subtle way, hidden in their actions, truth. He was king. He deserved a crown. He deserved the bowing. He was the Lamb who gave his life for our sins. Romans 3 tells us that everyone has sinned, fallen short of the glory of God, separated from God. Romans 5 says that God sent Jesus, and while we were still sinners, Christ died for us in our place, our substitute. In 2 Corinthians 5, Paul says that he who knew no sin became sin on our behalf. And Peter said in his letter, he bore our sin in his body on the cross. He paid our penalty so that there might be forgiveness, that we might have peace with God, be delivered from judgment. And we who know Christ, we know all that, right? We know all that. That's the gospel. That's the story of salvation. And whenever we come to the Lord's table, we know that we're remembering that, and we're giving thanks. And once again, that salvation that we've experienced, that forgiveness of sin, comes to the forefront of our minds. And we remember, and we give thanks. He bore our sins. He wore the crown of thorns for us. He bled and died for us. Our salvation isn't purchased by gold or silver or, you know, anything like that. It's not even purchased by our good works. That would be impossible. Our salvation, our forgiveness, our eternal life, our deliverance from sin's control was purchased by the blood of Jesus. That was the price he paid in our place. And so we come to the Lord's table on this Good Friday. And before we can get to Sunday, which everyone is eager to do, we take care of Friday. We come to the table like Jesus instructed, and we remember that he wore that crown of thorns for us as our lamb sacrificed on our behalf. And after his death, he didn't cease to be called the Lamb, did he? As you see on your study sheet, way out in the future, as John describes in Revelation chapter 5, he once again is still being called the Lamb who shed his blood. And I would like to invite you to read that portion of that text with me that's on your sheet. Just read it out loud with me as we echo what those around the throne of God in heaven are saying about Jesus. Let's read it together. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. Amen. Crown him with many crowns, the Lamb upon his throne. At the cross, we bow our knees in gratitude for the salvation purchased by the sacrificial death of Christ for us. He wore the thorns. He wore the crown of thorns for us. Our Lamb, our Savior, our Lord, our King. And as we come to the table, I pray that we will renew our commitment to the Lamb who is our King, and that He will receive a great deal of thanks and honor from us as we remember. But before we do that, Hannah, would you come and sing for us?
Veil, you made a way
For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall never perish, but have eternal life. Have you experienced that? You know what the forgiveness is like? You know what the freedom is like? You know what the relationship with Jesus, the one who died for you, is like? Well, you get the opportunity again tonight to come to his table and thank him. The Apostle Paul spoke these words about the Lord's Supper. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this, whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let's pray. Our Father, we as your people, saved by the blood of Jesus, forgiven, reconciled to you, our Creator, by the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, who took our place. Those of us who have repented of our sins and sought that forgiveness, been forgiven, received Jesus into our lives as our Savior and Lord, we come now to your table. We come to give thanks. We come to remember what Jesus went through for us. Father, as we eat the bread, may we remember the body of Jesus, the violence, the blood, the actual death that took place for us as he paid our penalty. As we drink from the cup, Father, help us to remember the blood that he shed for the forgiveness of our sin, the price he paid, the Lamb of God, innocent, sinless, who paid the price for our salvation. Let this be a special time for your people as we come, remember, and give thanks. And Father, may it be also a time where if someone doesn't know you, that they would respond to your invitation to salvation. Father, receive our thanks. Receive our praise as we come. In Christ's name, amen. I invite you to come just whenever you wish. Spend as much time partaking of the bread and the cup as you need and saying what you need to say to the Lord at his table. Let's come.